This is Mae Bressel. It's broadcast number 670, October the 8th, 1984, side two of this tape. And now that we have the background of Falwell and some of his complicated contacts with generals and admirals and the Defense Department and the fundraiser for the President of the United States, Mr. Paul Eckstein, these complex personalities, I want to go into some of the articles about the Christian fundamentalists that have been in the news in the past few weeks since they were so apparent and so accepted by the president at the Republican convention. One is from the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, titled, "With backing of $6.5 million and more on the way, Falwell says he can't lose." And this comes from Dallas, in quotes, "We found we didn't have to do any compromising last week. We had sheer numbers to win. The moral majority has 6.5 active members, including 2 million Catholics, a significant number of Jews. Falwell," the article goes on to say, "helped to organize a group of 100,000 conservative Christian ministers that are based in San Diego." 100,000. Now, remember, here is Senator Paul Eckstein addressing a letter to 45,000 fundamentalist pastors. The group is called the American Coalition for Traditional Value. The group, and they are run by a fellow who wants a Christian United States, Gary Jarman, who said he wants a Christian GOP. The group will give Falwell direct access to the nation's 50 million fundamentalists and evangelical Christians. Did this grow on you? Were we all sleeping when this was happening? That they undressed this thing in Dallas, and now the figures are coming out. 50 million fundamentalist evangelical Christians. The article says, "Falwell's efforts are now becoming broad. He's becoming multi-denominational, joining with the Catholics and the fundamentalists." And this is in many articles, the Union of the Vatican and the 50 million fundamentalists. "They will press politicians of both parties to adopt the conservative agenda. Falwell, the American Coalition, will use their pulpits and register over 2 million conservative voters before November the 6th, and they hope to influence this country for at least the next 3 decades, the article says. Falwell believes the Republican Party has found the formula that assures political success. It brings them together. Free enterprise, people committed to a strong national defense, and religious Americans. That is the formula. He is a fundamentalist, and there's a description in this one article on fundamentalists. They believe that salvation is based on the literal interpretation of the Bible, and Falwell considers himself a fundamentalist. They're the evangelicals who believe in the message of the scripture, but are generally tolerant of those when the Bible is subject to interpretation, which Falwell isn't, and the charismatics who speak in different unknown tongues involved in divine healing. Another article, a long story from the New York Times, "Political and religious shifts rekindle the church and state issue." And it quotes Jerry Falwell, starting out in 1965. He began in 1965, and Pat Robertson began in 1960. Falwell started his church when people were marching and registering in Selma, Alabama, having the blacks go to school in equal housing, and Reverend Falwell said that ministers should not be involved in marches. They should not do anything like that. Even if they're fighting communism or participating in civil rights, they shouldn't leave their pulpit. That was 1965. Now, in 1984, he's practically running the White House and writing the GOP platform. Can you believe from 1965 to 1984? In that time period, where did those years go? These 20 years, and he is writing the platform for the Republican Party that used to be somewhat brighter or intellectual, not too bright, but we thought were the Wall Street people, you know, representing the interests of Wall Street. No, the fundamentalists. Well, he represents Wall Street, but this frame of mind was so foreign to people. Years ago, we thought of them as a group, a fringe group, just on the edge of somewhere of no importance. Reverend Falwell, when he started out, built up momentum until the late 70s. That's when Richard Nixon was really in power, from 1968 to the 70s, with his Operation Chaos, his COINTEL program, the MK Ultra, the mind control, because John Kennedy was dead, Robert Kennedy was dead, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, and a whole gang of them, Whitney Young, Adlai Stevenson, were all out of the way. And now, enter the political arena, and the fundamentalists began to organize around their issues. This is the New York Times. Abortion, homosexuality, Equal Rights Amendment, busing for racial integration, teaching in schools, the Bible, and so forth, and a stronger military. That's what they emerged as wanting, not the things like to make this country or any other country better, whether it's in Central, South America, Asia, Africa, or whatever. Nothing really to do with education, the poor, low-cost housing, health plans, equal job opportunities. This is basically white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, sexist, racist, against Third World, for military juntas, for dictatorships. And in the 1980s, newly activated, they attached themselves to Ronald Reagan's presidential candidacy and were in the decision-making of the GOP platform. That's from the New York Times. The president not only embraced their views, but he embraces the group themselves. This just came out, as I say, this September the 2nd, New York Times. Another long article, Politics in the Pulpit Stirs the Old Debate. This is Los Angeles Times, September the 5th. I'm just going to give you highlights of these stories. Jerry Falwell declared September the 23rd Voter Awareness Day. Preachers of the gospel will use political activism. The fundamentalist churches in 50 states will be active. And they quote Gary Jarman, the fundamentalist who has the organization called Christian Voice, who's the lobbyist for Ronald Reagan with the Christian people. And this is what Jarman says. I heard him on television. He's scary. And this is a quote from the newspaper, LA Times. Someone's morality is going to be imposed on in society. It's a war between those who have a basically humanist view of morality and those who have my view. That's why I, last week ago, had at length the Jack Anderson story of the torture that our CIA and John Singlau, who belongs to the Coalition for Peace Through Strength with Jerry Falwell as co-chairman, head of the World Anti-Communist League, believe in. They are pushing their view, basically, against a humanist view. Those who have a basically humanist view of morality, or they have my view, says Mr. Jarman, and my view is a Christian America, and this is a war, he says. And someone's morality is going to be imposed on society, and it will be me, mine. This is the LA Times. This goes on to say the Republican National Committee was going to give this group $200,000 to encourage voters to register, but they have so much money they turned it down. And the polls of the University of Chicago National Opinion Research say that the fundamentalist Christians are the largest growing group in America, particularly among the young people. And they're starting them out. It's showing off the 20 years of early preschool training and early informative year training in high school and Christian colleges, and the young people starting with the Bible when they're little and this training from the preschool. As they get to the colleges, the Christian Jesus freak and the Bible caring people are becoming a large number of the youth today who stick together with that kind of training. This starting article in LA Times says there's such a thing as being born again, and there's a second coming. Ronald Reagan was the second coming. The president has been immeasurably aided by political activism of the religious crusaders, the anti-abortion Catholics, the evangelical Christian ministers like Jerry Falwell, and the Southern Baptist leaders such as Reverend Charles Stanley from Atlanta, Georgia, the First Baptist Church. There are 14 million Southern Baptists. Theologically conservative, it is a movement that is politically active, and there are a good number, 2,000 cells for the National Right to Life Federation, and Mr. Jarman takes credit for getting 1,500 of the 5,000 delegates from the convention, the GOP convention, through his organization. The Houston Chronicle, September the 9th, has a story in big black letters with Reagan making a face. Reagan lashes out at the anti-religionists. The irate Reagan lashes out at the anti-religionists. An irate president says the anti-religionists are breaking down the walls of separation between church and state. He turns everything around, of course. Reagan's Dallas Convention brought out the point that politics and religion are necessarily related, according to Reagan, and that his close association with the fundamentalist Christian groups and his support for a constitutional amendment allowing prayer breakfast in school has raised again the question of separation of church and state. And as I said before, on the other side, when you push the constitutional amendment for praying in school, and when it pushes the constitutional amendment for a balanced budget, then you get Henry Kissinger, and this article mentions the Constitutional Convention for Prayer in School and other articles of the budget. Another story from the New York Times, GOP activism emerges on the screen. And it goes on, the approval Mr. Reagan gave yesterday to the powerful forces of Christian conservatism is understanding, as was the selection of Jerry Falwell, the most prominent evangelist, to give the benediction for the prayer breakfast in Dallas. Reagan's support of these religious activists is expressed and is expected to have an effect beyond Reagan's own tenure. Falwell made a veiled threat yesterday against Vice President George Bush as being a moderate. He asked in his prayers, "Our Heavenly Father, for this Vice President, we especially ask thy hand be upon him, or else, I suppose." Then a New York Times had still another story. I'm not taking these according to papers, but of interest, that I be sure to get as many as I can on the tapes as we cover this material. August the 24th, evangelists use computer exchange. This is a man, John Marier, M-A-R-R-I-E-R, M-A-R-I-E-R, who lives in San Jose, California. He's a computer salesman, a consultant, and programmer, and a Christian fundamentalist, and he thinks there's an untapped market of lonely people working their computers, and he wants to spread the gospel by way of computers because the computer buffs are intellectuals who have better intelligence than most people, more money than most people, and more possibility to learn the gospel through the computer when there's a spare moment. So he has an idea to tap these lost souls, so he started a group in 1982 called Computers for Christ. And he has an electronic bulletin board that runs through home computers. And he gets 180 telephone calls daily about Christ. He gets 30 subscribers a day. Now, he's got branches in Riverside, California, in Little Rock, Arkansas, in Columbia, Maryland, in Lakeland, Florida, and in Saipan in Hong Kong. And this article goes on to say, it's from the New York Times, the whole ministry of Computers for Christ is designed to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to the cult of the intellectual above average. Now, the background of Mr. Marier was he studied psychology at West Texas University, then went to San Jose, and he studied criminology at the University of Texas. Now, the University of Texas is where Bobby Inman is setting up his massive computers with 6 or 8 of the largest computer companies in the world, maybe 10. And I'm wondering if they will pipe into the Computers for Christ in the Evangelical Computer Organization. You see, Bobby Inman was National Security Advisor, and he was also Deputy Director of the CIA under George Bush, the same George Bush that was in the White House with William Clark and Edwin Meese when Falwell had his 300 Baptists, and not only Baptists, the fundamentalist ministers before the convention. Bobby Inman worked for George Bush at the time that Henry Kissinger was their boss also. Kissinger in charge of Robert Keith Gray and Edwin Wilson, all working for the CIA, and Bobby Inman goes on now to Texas. This fellow, just 2 years ago, began, I don't think Inman was in Texas 2 years ago, but I'm sure there were computers beginning there, and leaves there to set up Computers for Christ, and already is located. If they give you 5 or 6 locations, there may be more that we don't know about. Now, Jack Anderson has been running a series again about the Justice Department and Reagan's appointee, Mr. Regnery, Alfred Regnery, as the director of the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. This is a good one for a Christian fundamentalist. Mr. Regnery is close to Falwell and that group, and they want to show that early education, I guess the preschool Christian, is a good influence and get the pornographers and the Antichrist off the street. And this article is pointing out, again, Mr. Gregory's wanting to take children from 9 to 12 years of age, and on the basis of their being left or right-handed, or the shape of their toes or their earlobes, or the way they sweat to electric shock, to predict their behavior. And recently he was given a huge sum, $500,000 or $600,000, to do a study on the effect of pornography of Hustler and Playboy and West and Penthouse on children, juveniles, as if they sit and watch it. Anyway, you can't buy those at the places children can reach, and parents don't have to leave them around. But Falwell and Mr. Regnery and Ronald Reagan and Edwin Meese are working close on these projects together. And, of course, Regnery has direct links to the university in Washington that Mrs. Meese is on the board, and they're all working close to get rid of the pornographers. But in fighting them to get Christ, the idea that Christ is ever present, and they almost need the pornographers in order to have a speech to talk about. When the anti-war movement came, they had to infiltrate it with a lot of the CIA and Defense Department anti-war protesters in order to have speeches about the anti-war people. Now, this problem of sex and juveniles and Mr. Regnery makes me believe that the stories of children being molested in nursery schools is being built up. Not that it doesn't exist. It, in fact, does exist. But a good hunk of it has been delayed in being investigated and now is being promoted in election years, and will put in the minds of people also as the investigations go on that these children should be in those Christian schools. See, Mr. Falwell and Mr. Regnery don't like Larry Flint writing articles about Larry McDonald and why he was killed by the intelligence of the White House because of his participation in Western Goals and with the Los Angeles Police Department. The investigation, huge mass of money to find out the links of these magazines came after Larry Flint began exposing Edwin Meese, their friend Edwin Meese, and Larry McDonald for the kinds of things that they were involved in and were being investigated for when McDonald's plane went down. The Los Angeles Times had an ad this last September for a program Sunday, September 23rd, on the pulpit of Dr. Robert Schuller, another well-known Sunday, almost prime-time minister at the Crystal Cathedral. And on the 23rd, they were saying that next Sunday, September 30th, to speak with Dr. Robert Schuller is Peter Grace, chairman of the board of W.R. Grace & Company. Again, you know, the links to Mr. Ambrose, to Zyklon B, to I.G. Farben, to Western Goals, the LAPD, the international, really, the crooks and criminals, go from church to church working with these ministers of the television, J. Peter Grace, to be the guest of Dr. Robert Schuller. He isn't as far right or bad as the others, but they take up a lot of the television time and are pushing, you know, this whole program that the world should be Christian. It goes along with it. Now, there's another story covering these events. I'll rush through some of these quickly. Maybe you saw them, maybe you didn't. San Francisco Chronicle, school prayer foes called intolerant. Big black letters, Ronald Reagan says the state needs the church. And he gave a speech that the state has to get along. It can't function without the church. The church is what makes the state strong. The state needs the church. He says, we are the party of the future. They are the party of the past. We are the party of new ideas. They are the party of tired old cliches. The Republican Party is the one where the government needs the church, and in order to keep her out of school is terrible. It's intolerant. We shouldn't do it. Another New York Times story, TV evangelists assume a larger convention role. This refers to Dr. M.G. Pat Robertson, who was very pleased with Dallas. He runs a Christian Broadcasting Network. That's the fellow that I said was helping put $5 million to get the book out, the publicity to get it out. And he says TV is shaping the audience, and it gives the leading conservative preachers the power they wield. And all during the Republican convention, it was evident that the TV evangelists were now assuming a greater political role. They went from the home television on Sundays or early mornings, weekday mornings, on to making the GOP platform. And it refers to Reverend Jerry Falwell, the Reverend James Robeson, who from Dallas, who gave the opening prayer of the Republican convention, Reverend Jimmy Swaggart, Reverend Dr. Greg Dixon, of Indianapolis Baptist Temple, the Coalition for Religious Freedom, and Phyllis Schlafly was there, and Pat Robertson is mentioned several times in this article as being important for Jerry Falwell and his platform and for guiding the Republican Party from now on. There was one story in the LA Times, rigid platform may be trying to force Reagan farther right than he can go. I think Reagan can go as far as he wants. And this article says that during Reagan's term, he promised to balance the budget. Now he has this big deficit. And the 1984 platform wants this constitutional convention on the budget that I mentioned. But that, again, goes along with the abortion. It's not going any farther right than Reagan wanted. And he knew he'd get the votes. And no matter what happens between now and November, he will surely get the votes. Another article about Dr. Reverend Hill from Los Angeles, the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, his prayers for Ronald Reagan. This was in the Wall Street Journal and also in the Washington Post. They carried this story and how at the convention, Jerry Falwell spoke to the president and Vice President Bush, and he said they were his instruments in rebuilding America. And Falwell, the founder of the Moral Majority, gave God's message and gave them a good send-off. All the top ministers and so forth are giving them a send-off. Another story in the Daily World tells that the Republican convention, that as they came in, there's a huge color photo of Reagan and Nancy and the Pope on display in the lobby, and Jerry Falwell and the right-wing preachers were there too, and a letter from the Pope, under a word under the picture said, "We deeply value your counsel and support and express our solidarity with you." This came from the Pope when they met in Fairbanks, Alaska. The Christian right is very much in the news. If you look at it and read it and hear what they're saying, you'll pick up some of what I'm sharing with you now, or maybe you have already. As I said, last week I listened to some of the Christian radio out here, and one of the first things I heard from the Christian Research Institute in San Juan Capistrano was the quotation of Helen Marie Taylor, that friend of Phyllis Schlafly's, who was appointed to the Council on Humanities, that she says Bible should be literature, Bible should be read in the public schools. They should do it like they do Shakespeare. That's not religion in school. That's literature. And Helen Marie Taylor, Reagan's new appointee, long on Western goals with the military and the Nazis and the CIA and the generals and Admiral Moore and the whole gang, she was quoted in this Bible group. Christian radio, KKMC, I listened to Reverend J. Vernon McGee, the Bible study just this week, and they're talking about the world, that there shouldn't be just one religion such as Catholic or Protestant, that the fundamentalists could coexist with the Vatican. But the important thing, the preacher went out, this Mr. McGee says, that now is the time of the Gentiles. It will soon be entirely the Gentiles. The tribulation is coming, the grand tribulation, and there he was on it, those 7 years. And he cites Luke 21-24 will be the time of the Gentiles, the fall of David the Jew. The line of David has failed. God passed the scepter from him. He passed it to the hands of the Gentile. And the theme of the Lord is the second coming of Christ, and predicted in Adam and Eve, the story of Adam. Christ is coming. Look to him in the Revelations. The Roman Empire will come back, and then he refers to the blending together of East and West Germany. Evidently, he didn't realize that that current visit has been called off. He'd made the tape ahead. He says, Jerusalem will be knocked down, and Israel is important to Bible prophecy. That's what that paper that I shared with you before on Falwell and Israel, that's why I brought that up, is that that's what they're talking about. When I turn on my Christian broadcasting now, I hear it on the radio that Israel is important to the prophecy. This is what I took right off the air. In fact, I was taking notes. I keep a clipboard in the seat of the car with a pen. I usually take notes when I'm driving to L.A. if it's not very safe, but I look behind me sometimes in the rear view. And when this Bible show started on, I was writing like, man, I had to pull off the side of the road because I didn't want to miss what he was saying. And then I typed up when I got home, and he said, it's the pre-millennium. There's only one place for Israel to exist. This is what this Reverend McGee was saying, and that's right now. That's their time and their place. That God promised Jews their own homeland. That was his promise. These are real promises. And then the revelation comes, and there's peace. That's for Israel. And then with tribulation, Israel has to be gone. You have to wipe out Israel. That's part of the Bible. If you're an Antichrist, if you're not a Christian, it's out. And then Bob Larson, another fellow on Christian radio, took over the next hour, and he's an expert on rock music, and he was telling them about Christians who burn their shirts from the Rolling Stones, which is okay, and Prince is bisexual and so disgusting, and you shouldn't listen to his albums. You shouldn't even consider them, or else you're part of the Antichrist. And they got into music, and it's different than the rock music. I almost agree with them on some of this junk music that's coming out. But they were doing it from a Christian point of view that good Christians won't listen. And of course, the interesting thing is in the 60s, in the late 60s, and this was quite a while back, the musicians that gathered at Big Sur while Ronald Reagan was speaking at the Beverly Hilton Hotel were already singled out, those people, by Billy Graham and the Christian fundamentalists as being a threat to what they had to say and what they had to sell. Now, everything that I'm talking about has been unleashed out of this bottle that began in Dallas, Texas, 20 years after the murder of John Kennedy. Reagan wanted the convention in Dallas. And, of course, the day after the prayer breakfast, the Washington Times, the Reverend Moon paper, had an article, President Links Politics and Religion, and he wasn't afraid because he knows he'll have this next election to begin to speak. And this is what the president said. He said, politics and morality are inseparable. Religion and politics are necessarily related. We poison our society when we remove its theological underpinnings. We need religion as a guide. Our government needs the church. Many of you, I'm sure, heard the speech. There's a divine order that transcends the human order, the bedrock of the state. The moral order is religion. It logically follows that religion needs defenders against those who care only for the interest of the state. Now, he's talking about the interest of the states, to preserve the states. And who is he talking about? The state is nothing more than a reflection, Reagan said, of its citizens. The more decent the citizen, the more decent the state. Well, let's see if we're decent. Let's see when, before the hippies came and the anti-war movement, how decent we are. Sir Eric Gary, who ran the goon squads, the mongoose team down in Grenada, the terror squad, he was instrumental in getting Maurice Bishop murdered again with our CIA, and the Washington officials in the Carter administration set him up in this place, and Ronald Reagan invaded the murder of Maurice Bishop. Sir Eric Gary's back in Grenada. In the Philippines, we see the riots, the chaos there, the dictatorship supporting him, the murder of Benigno Aquino, so Marcos can be there. In Vietnam, it was Premier Ky, who's Hitler is his hero, and then Mr. Diem, and of course, chaos, and millions of lives left, and people living horrible lives because of what we did in Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam. We put in the Paul Levy Foundation, this decent state of ours, the Shah of Iran, the Nazi Paul Levy's, had Mossadegh murdered, put in Zia in Pakistan, and got rid of Mr. Bhutto, all of these cases where the democracies were in Guatemala, got rid of Mr. Arbenz, put the CIA directing the dictatorship in Guatemala, in the Belgian Congo, murdering Patrice Lumumba, and putting in exploitation and murder, not making it a decent state. In the United States, the killing of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and hundreds of others in El Salvador, the death squads that are torturing and brutalizing these people as they are in Chile, getting rid of Allende, a democracy, an elected democracy, and putting in Pinochet in Nicaragua, putting in the Somoza family who controlled all of that, and Papa Doc in Haiti. Those are just a few of the countries where people might have had a chance for a democracy to flourish. Our government, our CIA, our Defense Department, William Casey from the OSS, Alan Dulles, who's dead, and the people that inherited his dirty jobs from him. He lived too long anyway. Maurice Bishop, Benigno Aquino, Mossadegh, Bhutto, Arbenz, Lumumba, the Kennedys, the King, Salvador Allende. Ronald Reagan had the nerve in Dallas, where John Kennedy was murdered by the highest levels of our American intelligence and cover-up. He has the nerve to say the state is nothing more than a reflection of its citizens. Reagan said, the more decent the citizens, the more decent the state. You can reverse that and say the more rotten the citizens, the more rotten the state. There are very few people that did enough to try to expose what was going on. And those who did, many fell down by the wayside and lost heart and didn't continue the battle. The fundamentalists stayed together, but the people who wanted to expose some of the injustices along the way and the assassinations along the way and the trickery along the way splintered off, got lost, didn't stick together, and now these people have literally taken over. Well, the time is out now. I probably will do some more on this next week. I hope I can get caught up with the other news, but I want to touch bases with what's in mind with these people who's making Ronald Reagan know that their votes are the ones that assure him of the presidency, and he will be obligated to them forevermore. And he's showing that in his promises of the appointments on the court. This is Mae Bressel. I'll be back with you next week. In the meantime, take care, and I hope I don't get any more messages through the television like I did last week. I'll let you know if I do. Bye-bye.